He's involved in a number of businesses.
He's a great role model.
Telling it like it is. Giving you both sides of the story. This is Katz at Night.
Great American, a great New Yorker.
Now, here's John Katzimatidis.
This is Katz at Night. John Katzimatidis here. TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. At least I get Saturday off, maybe. And we have a great show for you today. It's going to be up and down the East Coast. This is a TriCast, WABC Radio 770 and WLIR and 970 AM The Answer. And in the studio, we only have Democrats today. We have no common sense Republicans.
Yes.
We have common sense Lydia.
We have common sense Lydia. She's independent.
That's
Judge
right.
Richard Weinberg, common sense Democrat. And we have Governor David Patterson, another common sense Democrat. I mean, is there a Republican? Please stand up. There's nobody standing up.
Well, you got me. You got me. I'm a
common sense
independent. You're quasi-Republican.
I'm a registered independent. But yes, it depends on the person. It's all about the right person.
Tell us about the show today.
The show today, we've got a great lineup for everybody. We've got Dick Morris, and he's always comes in strong, tells it like it is. We got Larry Kudlow. We got to talk about the latest jobs report. Then we have John Solomon. He's got breaking news. Wait till you hear what he has to say about Hunter Biden. And, of course, Dr. Mark Siegel, who's got the latest on the medical front. So a great show for everyone.
And Dr. Michalos might be calling in, too.
That's correct. And one of the big stories was Jeff Zucker, and now it's been revealed, the head of CNN, that also Andrew Cuomo had a close relationship with this woman.
What was the woman's name?
Allison Gullis. And what's interesting is she started off as a trainee at NBC, and within a year, she became a senior producer.
Trainee to senior producer. She must have done something pretty good.
Yeah, she was a high performer.
She did certain things well, I guess.
She was a high performer. And she had a close-knit relationship with the governor as well.
I guess that got her places.
Maybe it also got some other person places Dick Morris knows too well.
I was talking to Bernie and Sid this morning, and they were criticizing
Mayor Adams.
Mayor Adams, and I said to them, give him at least 90 days. Let him do a good job. I said, if they don't start to fix New York in 90 days, we're going to sell Manhattan back to the Indians for $26. What say you, Governor?
Well, that might be a high price.
High?
Yeah.
Can you say Indians now? Is that
allowed to say Indians?
Are we allowed to say?
No, I'm sorry.
I have to correct you. You can't say Redskins.
What can we say? Cracker?
Don't say Redskins.
No, you can't say that.
Can I say Cracker?
No, you can say Native American.
I want
Indians
a cracker.
With respect to Polly wants a cracker.
Polly want a cracker. Okay.
You know what's very interesting?
Well, let's go to Dick Morris. Dick Morris. Now, Dick Morris was a Democrat.
Yes.
And he was a Republican.
And he knows about,
and he has common sense.
He knows it all.
He says it the way it is. Dick Morris, tell us what you're going to talk about today.
Well, first of all, the football team should not be renamed the Washington Commodores. It should be named the Washington Commies.
And then they could still wear red.
Yeah. Let's make it something appropriate, something
well,
accurate.
Dick Morris, I remember way back when in Stuyvesant High School. Did you run Jerry Nadler's campaign for president, or did Jerry Nadler run your campaign for president of Stuyvesant High School?
No, I ran Jerry's, and then I ran his campaign for district leader, and then I ran his campaign for the assembly.
Do you have any regrets?
I'm responsible for Jerry Nadler. Yeah, I disagree with the guy, but he's still a good guy.
Yeah, I know. But, I feel the same way.
Listen, I have two comments. I think, John, you're full of it when you say that we should give Adams more time.
Oh.
Because the one thing he's done in the first couple of hours of his administration is to guarantee that New York City will never vote Republican till hell freezes over by bringing a million illegal voters into the process. It's like, I don't care if Build Back Better passes. I don't care if any of the Biden program passes. But if voting rights passes, we are dead because he's going to fix elections till the end of time.
Well, I'm not sure that's legal. Is that the one that Vito Fasella is going after?
Because that's exactly right.
It's against the state constitution.
Adams has done exactly that in New York City.
Here's the game they play in New York City politics, and you should know it. They say and do things to make people happy, knowing that it'll never pass the courts.
Yeah, but you can't be sure of that. And I think that the I think that the it was outrageous of Eric Adams to do that. Take every other policy he did and stuff it. The only important thing he did in the first hour or so of his mayoralty was to give away the city to the Democratic Party permanently.
I am supporting Eric Adams.
No more Fiorello LaGuardia's.
I am supporting Eric Adams until at least 90 days to make sure he's doing the right job.
Okay, can I split this baby? Well, gentlemen, may
split
I split
the baby?
This? Let me split the baby in half. Dick, I think it was absolutely the wrong thing to do for the city council to pass that legislation. Adams took the short way around it. He didn't sign the bill. He just let it become law by operation of law. But I agree with you. It's a terrible thing. But I also believe that the courts will set it aside because it's unconstitutional. And I think John.
Yeah, I think so, too. But it might rain tomorrow, too. You know,
it's raining right now. But I'm looking out the window of the studio, and I'm telling you, Dick, it's raining right now. But the fact of the matter is,
one other thing I want to talk about while you got me on. I believe that the fate of the of many elements of there's a Democratic and Republican coalition of apologists for Russia, who are basically saying that Putin's right, that he's got grounds to stop Ukraine joining NATO. He's really not a bad guy. He doesn't want to expand. All the rationales they gave us that Adolf Hitler was okay. And what is happening now is that their fate is in Vladimir Putin's hands.
Well, listen.
It's Vladimir Putin.
Do we have a NATO? Germany's not going to go against Putin. Turkey's not going to go against Putin. France is checking out and says which side their bread is buttered until they give a decision.
I'm sorry. Hang on a sec, guys. Be right with you.
Well,
look, I think.
You put us on hold?
If Putin invades.
You put the station on hold.
If Putin invades Ukraine, then all bets are off for those folks. Tucker Carlson and all of the people who've been parroting Putin's line are going to be totally discredited. They're going to be like the isolationists were after Pearl Harbor. And the country will look at what happened and say, we follow you and look at the crap we've got. Because it won't be, it'll be a bloody invasion. It'll be hundreds and thousands of people murdered and tortured and imprisoned. And it'll be like Afghanistan on steroids. And they've harnessed their political careers to that. Just like Hillary spends her whole lifetime trying to live down her vote for the Iraq war. Those who parroted Putin's line are going to have to spend their whole time apologizing for that, because Putin is going to turn out to be a snake, to quote Trump, that bites him.
Well, yeah, you can't trust Putin.
I'm sorry, guys. I need to go. I will call you right back.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Dick Morris does have a point regarding that first order of business that Mayor Adams allowed the 800,000 non-citizens to vote.
He's got a point of order, but that's Vito's lawsuit. Facella is suing because it's in the state. They can't do it. Yeah, it's in the state
constitution.
Almost
impossible to conduct an election because you have two sets of voters.
Yes.
You have people who can vote in the city because they just got here, and you have people who can't, and they can't vote in the state or federal races, but they're in the same
time.
Exactly, and they're in the same polling booth with people who can.
But now
it'd be impossible to separate.
Richard Schwartz talked to Kathy
Wild
today. Tell the world what Kathy Wild said, that Alvin Bragg reversed himself.
Alvin
wrote a new memorandum.
Yes, right. Alvin Bragg, he sort of reversed himself, though. He issued a new memo where he talks about the armed robbery. So before, in his original memo, you could hold up somebody at a shop, at a business with a gun. And as long as nobody got hurt, it wouldn't be a felony. It would be a misdemeanor. So now he said if it's a commercial setting, and even if you just display the gun or display the knife, now it will be considered a felony. But he didn't mention anything else as far as like, you know, what about if you rob somebody out on the street, or what about hate crimes or anything else? It seems like he kind of walked it back, but not really. I thought it was tepid.
You know, when you have made such an egregious error as that memo reflected, you have got to go out and deal with it immediately. And it has to be a full apology for everything. And believe it or not, if he had done that, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this right now. But it was like every day he gave an inch, and then he went and apparently had a good meeting with the partnership. But then they said that he reversed himself again. And look, he's keeping the story alive, and it is burying him politically.
Governor,
and also,
Governor, you're absolutely right. What would have been a one-day story with the apology and over, he's now kept alive. So it's a death by a thousand cuts, and he's self-inflicted.
Well, just like with Biden, his first order of business was to shut down the pipeline, right? And just like John predicted, as soon as you shut down the pipeline, we went from being energy independent. We went
by
from
the way,
having so much oil.
I'm going to talk about it with Larry Kudlow is going to be on in about 10, 15 minutes.
Right.
And oil is almost $92 a barrel.
Right.
You know what that means?
It's
price at the gas pump is going to be maybe $6 a gallon. How do you say fasten your seatbelt?
God, John, I hate it when
you're right. The price of oil hits your body temperature, we're going to have a real, real problem here.
And the price of inflation, just I know quickly, John, you have said this. Like, if we think prices are high now, imagine how high it's going to be when gas prices are even higher.
Do we have John Solomon? I understand he's calling in.
Yes, and he has a great inside scoop on Hunter Biden. Let's take a listen.
And now with us is John Solomon, who's with us every week, and he's always had some breaking news. Lydia?
And this is John Solomon of JustTheNews.com, intrepid investigative reporter. They should just simply have FOIA under your name. Nothing gets by you. What's the breaking news, John Solomon?
A lot of big breaking news today. A big victory in the war on terror. U.S. Special Forces raid the home of ISIS's top leader in Syria. Before they could kill him, he killed himself and sadly his young children and family too. But the top leader from ISIS is now dead, a major score for the Biden administration and for the war on terror. A lot of people excited about this. His name was Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Karashi. He was number one on our get terror list. He is now dead, and ISIS has lost another of its key leaders. So that's the big news that's been breaking around. I've got one that's caught my attention because we all go to the mailbox, we pick up our mail, we drop off our mail at the Postal Service. Our good reporter, Aaron Kliegman, broke this story last night. The Postal Service has been buying technology that allows them to hack into Americans' cell phones, your mobile devices, and access your social media posts. And one may ask, why does the Postal Service need that technology?
I'm scratching my head. Why?
They don't have a very good answer. We know it comes from their Postal Service Inspection Division, which sometimes does investigate postal crimes. But this art of hacking into cell phones seems to go beyond normal criminal stuff and almost like a form of spying. A lot of civil libertarians, both conservative and liberal civil libertarians, are extremely worried about this. You've got Judicial Watch up with EPIC, Electronic Privacy Information Center. Very different ideologies, both equally concerned that the Postal Service appears to be in the game of spying.
Wow.
Is there any way to prevent yourself from getting
But who are they directing it to?
Yes.
There's no detail in this report other than they used it several hundred times to access phones during the course of investigations. 34 devices using one of the technologies, 143 with the second one. This little tidbit was buried in their annual report to Congress. No information. We are working hard to dig further. But I can tell you, the civil liberties world, left and right, just jaw-dropped by this revelation.
Wow. What else?
Well, my favorite story of the week goes back to something I did when I was working at the Hill. We did a lot of stories on Ukraine, Joe Biden, his son. And if you remember, that led to impeachment. And the story America was force-fed during impeachment was there was not Hunter Biden worked for this maybe corrupt company. It looked like the appearance of a conflict of interest, but it never impacted U.S. policy in Ukraine. We heard that 100 times from every witness, from every Democrat who gave a speech on the floor. Finally, I have revealed in a classified document. This is a document kept secret from the American public for more than 5 years. George Kent, one of the famous impeachment witnesses, he was a guy that wore the bow tie. He was very colorful, very good witness for the Democrats. He actually wrote an email concluding that Hunter Biden's work for Burisma undercut the entire anti-corruption activities of the United States in Ukraine. That is a major change in story, a major revelation. A lot of people talking about it. I'll just read you what he wrote. Now, keep in mind, this is November 2016. The Obama-Biden administration is leaving office. This got classified, so it couldn't be released to the public. I got it from a source and made it public now. But he writes, "The real issue to my mind," this is George Kent, senior State Department official, star impeachment witness, "the real issue to my mind was that someone in Washington needed to engage VP Joe Biden quietly and say that his son Hunter's presence on the Burisma board undercut the anti-corruption message that the VP and the United States was advancing in Ukraine." And he goes on to explain how it did it, which is Joe Biden comes into Ukraine, says, "Don't do corruption anymore. Clean your act up." And then people turn around and there is Hunter Biden working for one of the most corrupt figures in Ukraine at the time. In fact, State Department knew that while Hunter Biden was on the board of this company, Burisma, that the company had paid not one, but two bribes to try to make prosecutors drop cases. That's how corrupt this company was. Now, 2 years after impeachment, we're finding out the storyline Democrats gave us wasn't true.
Now, have you figured out yet why we're giving... we're buying all this oil from Russia and from OPEC instead of buying it from Canada and Alaska?
It's a head-scratcher, right? It is an ideological thing, as best I can tell. I've interviewed about 4 or 5 dozen people over the last 2 months about this. And to a T, Democrat, Republican, they say the same thing. Listen, Joe Biden and his Democratic Party wants to reduce America's reliance on fossil fuels. And they're going to do it by cutting off the spigots here, like shutting down the Trans-Canada pipeline, right? We know they did that Keystone pipeline. In the interim, while we don't have enough energy to make up for that, they're glad to go back to the dependency of OPEC in Russia. But what it does is it props up Russia's market. Vladimir Putin is far more excited today about the price of oil because of what Joe Biden has done.
John Solomon, thank you for coming on. And you provide such a service to the American people by getting the truth out.
And again, it's justthenews.com. And John, tell us about your new TV show.
Yeah, it's called Just the News. We made it simple. It's on Real America's Voice every night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So grateful to have that platform, as I am every time I get to come on your great radio station as well.
Well, WABC, thanks you very much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
I love me some John Solomon. And coming up after the break, we've got another great guest for you, Larry Kudlow, on this incredible jobs report. Keep it right here, Cats at Night. You don't want to miss it.
A common sense recap of the day's biggest stories. It's John Catsimatidis and Cats at Night on 77 WABC.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. We're back.
Wow.
We're back. And do I live a life of danger?
Maybe. With me.
With us today is Larry Kudlow, one of the country's premier and best economists, and almost, I think, the number one show on Fox Business. Larry Kudlow, how are you today?
I'm good, John. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Now, how do you analyze what the heck is going on in these markets? So, what say you?
Well, look, I think the big story today was the blowout jobs number, which is ironic because the Biden administration told us a couple of days ago the jobs were going to fall, and instead they rose. They rose by 467,000. And with prior revisions of 700,000, jobs are up over 1.1 million. So they couldn't even get that right. They warned us jobs were going to fall, but instead jobs rose substantially. And it was a good number. People going back to work. Earnings were good. Everything was good. Unemployment was steady. Participation rates rose. I mean, look, I think the theme here is you've got an inflationary blowout on your hands. You've got a 7% inflation rate, but you've got very strong labor markets, low unemployment. And stock markets were not very active today. It wasn't a big day. But I'll just say the Fed is going to have to take the punch bowl away. They're probably going to have to do it sooner. and they're going to have to do it more aggressively. They're going to have to stop buying bonds. They should let the market set interest rates. They're going to have to start selling bonds and pulling money out of the banking system and the economy. It's too hot. So I think that's the big story. Jobs are very, very strong today.
And the 10-year T-bill, is it still rising?
Yeah, I think it was over 190 today. That's what somebody told me. I'll get your quote in a second. But look, rates which have been held down by the Fed, right? Rates have been held down by the Fed. They have got to be allowed to find the market level, right? The market's going to have to reset on interest rates. The Fed can no longer be dependent to hold them down. So that 10-year, the market rate, is going to go up, John. I think it's heading towards 3%, frankly. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Historically, that's a very low number. But even though earnings, profits are the mother's milk of stocks, profits are rising. But if the rates go up as much as I think they are, you're going to have a shrinkage of multiples. So there's some stock market corrections out there. I mean, that's the way I see this.
Understood.
Larry Kudlow, I saw your show yesterday. You were on fire. And you were talking about the gun violence summit with Biden and Eric Adams. We're trying to get New York City back, but with the crime problem, can it be done?
Yeah, well, thank you, Lydia. Look, I think that's the biggest story of the week. Of course, the tragedy of the shootings of the two young detectives. I thought Biden's appearance in New York yesterday was a big nothingheimer, an absolute big nothingheimer. I mean, look, he wants to blame gun controls. You know, let's get serious. New York has the toughest gun controls in the country, and we are still living in a crime wave. And we have, you know, this crazy district attorney, Alvin Bragg, reclassifying felonies to misdemeanors. You know, assaulting cops is no longer a felony. Drug dealing is no longer a felony. You've got a climate here of crime that has to be solved. This is a breaking point. It's a break. And by the way, Lydia, it's not just a New York City story. It's a national story.
Yep.
You cannot have this permissive, soft on crime atmosphere. You have to stop blaming the cops, and you have to start blaming the criminals. You can't have no bail, no jail. Criminals, particularly recidivist repeating criminals, must be put behind bars. If we don't go back to a tough on crime, you know, we should quit criticizing the cops and listen to the cops, right? You had thousands and thousands of cops lining Fifth Avenue. Actually, there were more cops at the funeral this week than there were last week. They went all the way from 50th Street at St. Patty's down to 35th Street, I'm told by observers. The point is, listen to what the blue line is saying. Stop criticizing them and help them. Politicians should have their backs. They shouldn't just be criticizing. And Joe Biden has said time and time again that cops are the problem. And again, this business about blaming guns is just nonsense. It's the criminals who hold the guns who should be behind bars. Yesterday, they actually blamed Georgia. They're importing guns from Georgia up I-95. You know, you want to talk about crossing borders. How about stopping the border down south, the Mexican-U.S. border? Okay, that's guns come up through there. Sex trafficking comes up to there. Criminals come up to there. We don't know. The drug lords run that thing. You know, that's something that Biden could actually do. But he should get behind the cops and point the finger. This guy, Alvin Bragg, should be fired. He either should take his memo back altogether, or he should be fired. That's what Rudy Giuliani said. It was in Miranda Devine's column. And Rudy Giuliani is exactly right. This is a turning point, Lydia. Make or break.
I couldn't agree more. And if he doesn't want to listen to the cops, he should listen.
He has a new memorandum he put out, I understand. Well, he started reversing himself.
He just did a little bit on the armed robbery. But the mother of that 11-month-old girl in the Bronx that got shot in the face, she said, you know what, Philip Rikers, I don't care. They almost killed my baby. Biden doesn't want to listen to the police, he doesn't want to listen to people like me and you, how about the mothers? How about the people that live in those communities?
I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, that whole memo that Bragg put out should be burned and shredded, okay? And if he doesn't want to do that, he should be fired. But you don't have politicians with backbone here. I mean, look, I was really sorry at this Biden event yesterday that Eric Adams, who I have supported, he actually said something nice about Bragg. No, he should be blasting Bragg. OK, I think his police commissioner is tougher than he is on this stuff. But in any event, this is make or break time. This climate of crime, by the way, has economic content, because if you have high crime rates, that means people are not going to go to work. They're not going to refill the office buildings. They're not going to keep businesses open. They're not going to start new businesses. I say, you know, high crime is like a tax hike. It discourages work and it discourages business and investment. Low crime, such as during the Giuliani and Bloomberg years, is like a tax cut. It incentivizes business. People will come to work. They will open up businesses. They will start new companies. So this is an economic. Look, New York is losing. We are losing to Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, Utah, Texas. I mean, this is make or break time. And if changes are not made, if the crime is not curbed, then we're going to be in trouble. It's look, and I say this in sorrow. I've been lived in New York since the early 1970s, a little time off for Washington, D.C. I'm basically lived in New York for, I don't know, close to 50 years. I say this in sadness. But people are demoralized here. And unfortunately, they're demoralized with good reason. And we have got to have politicians, Democrats and Republicans, have got to go back to being tough on crime. Because, look, the criminals should be in jail. The victims are the ones we should worry about. Victims, like the mother you're talking about, kids, police victims. This stuff has got to be stopped. And frankly, there's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it than to throw criminals in jail for a long time. I don't want to reduce their criminality. I want them treated the way normal states treat criminals.
Well, we said that. You're 100% right, Larry Kudlow, because I said to David Patterson, who's sitting here with us, I said, at what point? We used to talk about three strikes and you're out. So when you have 4, 5, 6, 7, 18, at what point you've put them away and throw the key away?
I'm going to give you guys some statistics that are pretty scary that just came out. Overall crime is up in New York City 39%. Carjackings are up 93%. Transit crime 70%.
They shot a cop the other night trying to hijack his car.
That's right, a 22-year-old cop. So six cops already have been shot here in New York City.
I think the average age is going to be 22 soon.
Right, and 26 cops across the country. This is a national epidemic, soft-on-crime policies. Governor Patterson, you know Mayor Adams. What would you want to say to him if he was listening right now?
I think Mayor Adams is bought in on the crime fighting. I don't understand. There's a need to get illegal guns off the streets because they're illegal.
Yes.
However, there are a whole lot of other contributing factors to crime that aren't being addressed, and they're not all education. They're a very large contingent of people with mental health difficulties, and we haven't taken one step, the city or the state, to start building the facilities that they can go in. Now, we had trouble at Willowbrook, and we had trouble at some mental hospitals where there was abuse years ago. That does not mean that those corrections can't be made, and buildings to hold people who clearly are dangerous to society when they're on their own is imperative.
You could clean up some of the buildings on Rikers just for mental health facilities to get people integrated treatment for mental problems and drug abuse.
But they should be off the streets. They should be off the streets. The homeless crowd is growing. You look at what's happened in Los Angeles. You look at what's happened with San Francisco. The homeless expansion is ruining those cities. And it is growing, unfortunately. It is growing in New York as well. It's growing in Washington, D.C. The people have to be taken off the streets. But the main thing here, the root cause of the crime epidemic, is that the politicians are attacking law enforcement. They're blaming law enforcement. Joe Biden, during his campaign and during this year, there's quote after quote. Take a look at Heather McDonald's piece in yesterday's Wall Street Journal. He attacks the cops. He panders to this left-wing woke nonsense, okay? And the fact is, he appointed people. I had Senator Ted Cruz on the show tonight. Ted Cruz talking about how he appointed anti-cop district attorney, U.S. attorney for the entire state of Massachusetts. That is just nonsense. That kind of stuff is just nonsense. You have to help law enforcement, not hurt law enforcement. You have to have the back of the cops, not attack the cops. And you have to make sure that you don't have district attorneys who are trying to diminish crime into little misdemeanors. Because remember, the one thing Bratton got right, the one thing Giuliani got right, whatever it was, 35, 40 years ago, small crimes lead to big crimes. That was the theory of broken windows. You know, stop the squeegees, stop the graffiti, stop people from jumping over subways, subway turnstiles right now. You stop the small crimes, you will stop the big crimes. But if you make the big crimes into small crimes and you keep them on the streets instead of behind bars, then you got yourself a crime epidemic. And that's what we face right now. And that's why I say this is a New York problem, but it's a national problem. This is make or break for New York, but this is make or break for the whole country.
Thank you, Larry Kudlow, and congratulations on being the number one show on Fox Business, and you're doing a great job. And you are the number one show all day on WABC Radio on Saturdays, and you're on from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and you're the highest ratings of all our Saturday shows. And thank you so much, Larry Kudlow.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Love, love, love.
We'll talk soon. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and
we're going to have Dr. Mark Siegel and a lot more to talk about. Breaking news.
See.
John Katzenmatidis, 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the John Katzenmatidis, Cats at Night show. We have a full house in the studio tonight. We got Governor Patterson, Judge Weinberg, and myself. And then we've got Dr. Mark Siegel on the line for us. How are you, doctor? Dr. Emanuel, did you hear Rahm Emanuel's brother on MSNBC, by the way, recently, what he said, that if you don't give kids the vaccine, they're going to get a very serious infection of COVID?
Yeah, the word for that is untrue. How's that one?
But why wasn't it flagged by Twitter?
Did he tag that he was a stockholder or getting...
Oh, yes.
What isn't he a stockholder in?
Ah.
I don't think he practices oncology. You know, I'm very proud of something in my past that you guys don't know, which is that I have debated Zeke Emanuel on Fox News multiple times about the Affordable Care Act, and he was one of the architects. And, John, I beat him to a pulp.
Glad to hear it.
Well, the misinformation that he was spewing was frightening.
What we talked about the other day, and you were going to look into it, what the heck is the government hiding and putting, trying to hide for 55 years? What was it, the CDC or the went to the court, federal court, to hide certain things for 55 years?
It was actually, when I looked into it, I found that it's the FDA, by the way.
Okay.
And when I looked, that shouldn't comfort you because the FDA is the one that actually would have something to hide, right? The CDC might not know what's going on, but the FDA actually approved the drug, approved the vaccines. And it's 75 years, John, not 55, 75. But a federal judge, and Judge Weinberg can comment on this, has now said 8 months. But meanwhile, even if it's 8 months, that's 8 months of and millions of people taking the vaccine.
They want to delay being sued for something. Something is wrong, and there's a lot of side effects that they're not telling people.
So then they'll be dead by the time they try to sue, and nobody can blame them or they lose their jobs.
It's 75 years, we'll all be dead.
Speak for yourself.
Side effects to this vaccine. I've seen it up close. I've treated side effects. There's multiple side effects, but we're in a pandemic, and the virus has way more side effects. But you're right. They need full disclosure, transparency. They've never had it, not at all.
Doctor, let me ask you this question: what's the legitimate medical purpose for putting a lockbox on the facts surrounding the COVID vaccine?
There isn't any.
No, I'm not talking about
there is, because they have They have indemnified, the government has indemnified the pharmaceutical companies.
Correct. Oh, that's the right answer.
Yes.
That happened after the swine flu. There's a history to that. That happened after the swine flu pandemic, the swine flu fiasco, I should say, non-pandemic. I wrote about that in one of my books. That's correct.
And
they indemnified the drug company.
The ambulance lawyers will be out, there will be 10 zillion lawsuits against the government.
I don't support the ambulance lawyers. Let's the record be clear.
Well, it's got to be, well. Some I'm sure there'll be some reputable lawyers,
but the point is, I can't discern.
My
any
toe hurts. I think it's from the vaccine.
Again,
I want to sue.
That's the legal question, John. I understand, but I want to ask Dr. Siegel: is there any reasonable medical explanation for keeping wraps on that? That's all I want to know.
Oh, the doctor's right there, Dr. Siegel. So
I'm here. So 75 years from now, there's going to be flying ambulance lawyers, probably, right? I mean, it's all about transparency, and there's no transparency. And you're right; somebody has a side effect. But look, the other part is true too. You could be stubbing your toe and suing, but this vaccine has significant side effects. Just that the virus has way more.
Yeah, I agree with you 110%. Dr. Mark Siegel, thank you so much for calling in and looking into that. And so far, the federal judge has done the right thing, only put a halt on it for 8 months. God forbid they try to hide it for 75 years. Have a great weekend, Dr. Mark Siegel. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Are we taking another break or are we going to the next guest? Let's take the break.
You're commuting home. Cats at Night. Now, here's John Katsimatidis on 77 WABC.
Oh, well, that was quite the conversation with Dr. Siegel. And
the government is hiding it because they don't. They don't want to get sued. And there's going to be a 100,000, 500,000.
My butt hurts.
Lawsuits.
My pinky hurts. My butt hurts.
I got it.
Butt wins 2-1.
My butt.
3-1.
Two butts to one heart.
My eye, my ear, my nose.
I understand Rita Cosby is going to be calling in.
Yes,
and
Rita's
going to talk about her interview with Eric Adams.
Right.
And right after that, Dr. Peter Michalos is going to come on and give us an update. An update on COVID and what the heck is going on.
Well, did you hear what's going on with Kamala Harris? It's frightening that she is a heartbeat away from running this entire country. An eighth staffer has now quit because they said working for her is soul crushing and that she's a bully. And she talks over people. She interrupts them. Does that surprise you, John?
Unbelievable.
Well, here's the opposite of Kamala Harris, and that is Rita Cosby, a consummate professional, the Velvet Hammer. I love that description of you, Rita Cosby. I loved your interview with Mayor Adams. How are you?
I'm doing great, and boy, it's been making a lot of headlines, and I'm happy to see that Alvin Bragg had to put out a statement today clarifying that if you rob somebody with a gun, it's actually going to be a felony. It's amazing that he had to do that to clarify, but you could tell there's been a lot of pressure. And
it's amazing that it took so long because these original statements happened a month ago, and I don't know what he thought, but they were going to go away because – they never go away. You make them go away when you take responsibility, and it still hasn't gone away.
Yeah, but he said only in a commercial setting. If he really wanted to make a statement, he would have.
No, you're looking to be technical. I think Kathy Wilde and the rest of the world is going to keep their thumb on it until he does the right job. Because let me tell you something, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the governor to make sure he does the job.
He should have burned that memo in effigy. Rita, what are you talking about tonight?
Yeah, by the way, I absolutely agree. And even Eric Adams, during our interview yesterday on our show last night, and we're going to talk more, of course, about this tonight and, of course, these new developments from Alvin Bragg. Eric Adams came out and said crime is a domestic terror threat and criminals must be held accountable. It's the furthest I've heard him say where it must be changed. And clearly, Alvin Bragg heard that message loud and clear between you know, hearing it from Eric Adams, Kathy Wild, all the people you're talking about. So we're definitely going to be talking about this tonight. We also have Gordon Chang on tonight talking about should U.S. athletes and advertisers be boycotting the Olympics, because Republicans and many others, and including me and many others, want answers about the Wuhan lab. Why should we
be glorifying China? Well, find out from Gordon Chang on your show tonight. I understand we had a Chinese-American performing in China, and he underperformed his normal skills. Does that mean he has parents there that the Chinese threatened?
Yeah, very interesting. And the Uyghurs, too, John, the other one, too, is during one of the ceremonies, they actually had somebody who was from a Uyghur camp being showcased to try to put this fake image to the world that, oh, no problems there. Meantime, we still don't know about the root of the cause that has caused 900,000 American lives, as we just learned a few minutes ago, the new total.
What did Eric Adams say to you that was the most significant of your interview? And let people know how they can get your interview if they haven't heard it. They can go to WABCradio.com and go to your podcast.
Absolutely. They can check it out on WABCradio.com. I thought, first off, he was absolutely clear that criminals need to be punished. He absolutely voiced concern that the system needs to change. And he also said, he talked about the best advice that Governor Cuomo gave him. They had that secret meeting, and he talked about the best advice that Governor Cuomo gave him. It's actually quite surprising. So there's a lot of surprises. Everybody check it out on WABCradio.com. And we're going to be running the highlights tonight on the Rita Cosby Show at 10 o'clock on the Great 77 WABC.
And
thank you so much, Rita Cosby. So 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. to midnight, number one show in that time slot in the country, Rita Cosby, followed by Frank Morano, who, of course, on Monday, other side of midnight, and then Dominic Carter,
Dominic Carter, the number one show at midnight.
Yeah, Dominic Carter is killing it. So thank you, John Catsimatidis, for allowing us to continue to speak the truth. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita. I'll be listening.
Thank you guys so much. Keep up the great work there on your show.
Thank you. And now I understand Dr. Michalos is calling in. Is he on yet?
Dr. Peter Michalos, finally, we're not going to rush you off the air and you don't have to listen to the music.
No, it's all good. Great to be with the Common Sense at 5 team at the Cats at Night. And we're very fortunate that it looks like COVID is quieting down. The number of hospitalizations is dropping dramatically. 2 weeks ago, Long Island had 250 inpatients. Now they're down to like 90. So that's a very good sign. I think Omicron is running out of people to infect. And now the other good news is that the IV monoclonal antibodies are becoming more readily available as the supplies are being delivered. So we tell our audience out there, if you're sick, you're high risk, you're not feeling well, get access, talk to your doctor, get your infusion. And now the pharmacies are starting to show signs that they are getting supplies of the oral antiviral. So it looks like we might be on the tail end of things, and by March, things may be opening up, and we're going to have a much better summer. And that's all the positive news that's happening.
What do you hear that Theraflu-type medicine is supposed to be available?
It's already available in some of the pharmacies, and more pharmacies are it's becoming available out here. I was able to – a patient told me that they were able to get it in a nearby pharmacy, so it is available, and there are going to be actually more different types of antivirals that are coming out. So it's not just the two that were approved by Merck and from Pfizer, but you can get them in the pharmacy, and there are several pharmacies in Manhattan now where you can get them. But I think it should be made available. There's even a pharmacy in the city that is delivering it. So when a doctor can call and make arrangements, and they'll deliver it to people who are afraid to go out or at high risk to go out once they get diagnosed. So that's all very, very positive news that's happening. So we've come a long way from the early days when we were talking about this, when we had no treatments, no therapies, where now we have multiple treatments. And also the new vaccines that are going to be variant specific will also be coming out. And the other exciting news that we touched upon the other day is that this mRNA technology is now going to be used to create vaccines to laser target against certain types of tumors and cancer. One of the real exciting things was the work between Moderna and Merck working on vaccines that will be able, when they take a biopsy of your prostate cancer or even a brain tumor, there are surface markings, and they'll custom make a vaccine for each person to attack the tumor that you have. And that looks like
that's
it's
amazing.
In the works. And within
amazing.
2 years, we'll have laser-targeted vaccines for each person-specific cancer.
And you're going to be talking about it, I understand, on our Sunday show, the Cats Roundtable, every Sunday between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, and you're on between 9 and 10 on Sundays. And it's a national show now. And tell us a little bit more about it, that you're going to be able to custom make a antivirus, or what do you call
it? And then plus,
well,
what happens
is each tumor has different markers on the surface of the tumor. So, for example, for glioblastoma, which is a brain tumor, we have something called a blood-brain barrier, where chemotherapeutic agents have trouble getting into the brain. So this is actually going to be modifying your T killer cells, which are natural cancer killer cells. And we're going to have vaccines that will stimulate those T killer cells, which will go after the specific tumor that is going to be customized based on your specific tumor. So if you have a certain modification on the surface of your tumor compared to someone else, it's going to basically be your laser-targeted, laser-guided missile for your prostate cancer, your lymphoma. And there's work being done right now at Columbia University. They're using it for cases where a bone marrow transplant, for example, fails in leukemia, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease. And this is already happening. And as we discussed the other day, there were two cases at the University of Pennsylvania where they completely cured a leukemia by taking the cells from our blood and modifying them genetically, these T killer cells, and turning them into basically laser-targeted guided missiles. And not only did they do the job, but they found that they stayed in the body for years later, and that it takes about a month, and people had these miraculous cures, and two people were actually completely cured. So this is all happening, so it's important we support research and development in our country, because most of the new medicines for COVID came out of the United States, thanks to Operation Warp Speed. And we were able to take the handcuffs off of companies so that they can move ahead and create all these amazing things, because nothing new has really come out of any socialized medicine country. And but we also have to give credit to the Russians, because they did produce one of the first vaccines. But if you look at all the other socialized medicine countries, they really didn't come out with anything new. So, you know, God bless America and Operation Warp Speed that we were able to help lick this pandemic with all these amazing treatments.
Dr. Peter Mihalos, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for your update. And I'll be listening in on Sunday for your interview on those special killer cells.
Thanks for always getting the truth out on the Cats Roundtable.
God bless you. And I just got a text from Mario Economu that says that some insurance companies are trying to get together and sue the government based on life insurance and people dying.
Really?
And I guess that's why the government is trying to put it off for 75 years.
Oh, because of the vaccines?
Yes.
Wow, 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 wow.
A class action suit or something like that. Judge, what say you?
I say I better read these reports and be ready to talk about it on Monday.
I mean, look, there are side effects, I've had trouble with my right eye, but it's going to get better. But it creates inflammation, and it goes to the body's weakest spot.
But the bottom line is God forbid, John, if you got COVID, you could have died.
So the thing is, what?
Thank God you had the vaccine.
What do you fear more, COVID,
right,
or sore butt?
Okay, and that's what Dr. Siegel is saying.
Yeah.
There are side effects, but the fact is this has been a great success.
Guys, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Governor David Patterson, thank you so much for having common sense. And
thank you, John.
Judge Richard Weinberg, thank you for being here. Lydia, my sidekick, and thank you for everything you do for
Absolutely.
The station.
Absolutely. God bless you guys.
God for all, John Katzmatidis. God bless New York. God bless America. And have a great weekend.